All right. This is the first episode of the year. Discussions with Printez, a.k.a. Matsumusa the 7th. And under the new year, I got my first special guest, Mike, a.k.a. Prophet Mike.
Yeah, what's going on? What's going on, people?
All right, so I'm going to jump right into it. That's my style. Although y'all will notice something different. Now I am the host. My powers are doubled since you last seen me. And I'm going to use that power to talk about something that's a little messed up. Gentrification. Or as it's commonly known as bye-bye blackies.
I think your powers are doubled. But the viewership and listenership is going to happen.
Word. Just going to...
I appreciate you for having me here too, man.
Man, you're looking out, man. You know, that's how it is with us, man. We're trying to build as a people. Start playing offense in this country. That's what we need to do. Now, I've said it before, we lived through all kind of stuff, all manner of stuff, and they haven't beaten us.
I tell you, man.
So it's time to use that strength, you know, to go after it. Now, the reason I got Mike here specifically is we're all from the city of Charleston is a little weird. It's kind of like New York. It's as a municipality, it's several different cities, but socially, it's one city. Like, I'm from North Charleston. Mike is from the city of Charleston.
Yeah, from the downtown area. Yeah, right there, things are... It's in one sense getting better, but you know, at the same time, as far as for our people, it's like sometimes you know we get put on the back burner. You know that's the feeling down in the city,
right?
Or, you know, all together. You know,
now, from none of that shit.
Now mark that distinction though, because he said downtown. If you're from here, where he's from is called downtown. Officially, again, it's the city of Charleston, and I'm from North Charleston. But if we, let's say we went to Columbia, no matter if you're from North Charleston, Mount Pleasant, West Ashley, yeah, you're probably going to tell whoever asked that you're from Charleston.
Right. You know, another place that I've been, you know, I actually went to school down there in Columbia. So, I've had the chance to, you know, see the diversity, of that city as well, which is, a metropolitan city.
Right. It's kind of the same vibe too, like different smaller cities that are reviewed as one city. But here in the city in Charleston, our new problem is gentrification. Basically, if you don't know what gentrification is when they're trying to quote unquote improve an area to make it suitable for more high class. Population, but more high class people, so to speak. But really, we know we read that as white people. Now, what
gentrification is?
I can bring up the dictionary.
The repurposing of an area.
Yeah. Yeah.
For certain financial means, right?
Well, let's go to Oxford's dictionary. Oxford's definition. The Oxford definition is the process of renovating and improving a house or district so that it conforms to middle-class taste. That's the first definition. Second definition, the process of making a person or activity more refined or polite. So basically they're saying that we ain't worth the time. They had all this time to fix the area, never did.
Well, that's why you see a lot of these, a lot of our smaller towns that at one time were joined in with Charleston. A lot of the time you see them, fight in order to become their own. And,
Somerville!
Oh, say it ain't so, man. Say it ain't so, you know. But, you know, and a lot of time, you'll see that, in that process, a lot of time, people need to unite on certain issues, but then proceed to have their own opinion and go by, their logic and, by their own means. And, it's just crazy, man. You see in cities like West Ashley and North Charleston as well, You know, we had an opportunity to sit down inside the city council time.
Quadro Campbell.
Yeah, and we actually seen firsthand that they have the plans laid out. I mean, and if you have the time to sit back and actually research these things, if you go, shit, simple as YouTube or Google and type in, say, you know, North Charleston, city meeting, and you'll see, and you'll see that they have things laid out right there, man. You know, what they're gonna do on this side of town, and a lot of times you will see that a lot of the issues that they are putting at our neighborhoods.
Yeah.
You know,
Quadro Campbell told us what, 20 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to tell us about this, and he caught hell with city council. Now, if people don't know, here in the Charleston area, Quadro Campbell was a councilman who pretty much championed the area he was from. Well, that's what he's supposed to do. But every time I turned around, the news was talking about how he did something wrong, or it was just, they were just running that game on him. And they finally got him out of there, and you see 5, 10, 15 years later, when they get him out of there? You remember?
Yeah, about a decade or so ago.
Yeah, now you're seeing what's happening.
Was he voted out?
What happened? He's from your area, Mike.
Quadro Campbell.
Yeah.
He's a councilman, so he had to be voted out, right?
I believe so. I believe he's voted out.
Which means he wasn't voting?
And you see that all the time, man, especially... when you go out and stuff, it seems like the only time you see us together is when one of us are killed in the streets. Then you see us trying our best to get together and do things, and then a lot of time they laugh behind your back, right in your face at the same time. That's the atmosphere that you feel when you around in that environment. And that's just the thing in Charleston, all over Charleston. I mean, to be honest, even though we see him so divided, all of it, just like I say, a lot of it is just all of it the same area. That's why when we go out of town and we in them situations, a lot of times you see us band together, but then nowadays, we tend to go to this newfangled thing, we don't stick together no more. So you can hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, we don't stick together no more. But in many cases we are, trying our best.
I think what it is, we're more aware of what's going on.
Yes.
I think I've noticed historically when gentrification is happening, it happens slowly, and by the time people notice what happened, everybody's already been moved out. Now, I don't think that's happened now, because I think there's still a good bit of us that live in these areas, particularly downtown area. And shout out to you and your family, because the one thing I like about your family is that they haven't sold their home yet, and I hope they never do. And that's been a big issue with us, is that we own our own property there in a certain area, and then somebody comes along and waves a little bit of cash in front of us, and we get rid of it real quick.
Yes, and also I think the main thing that is the lack of knowledge, passing that knowledge down to each other. I think if we be more aware of that, then that would help a lot, and just being vote, voting and also a lot of time putting these proposals together, put a proposal together as a people. We like to say as Black people or as African Americans, we have to put something on the table to say, okay, well, this is for our neighborhood, and be specific, and that's the only way, and put it on paper. And just like I said, we're voting. Yeah, that's one thing. But there, we gotta put a plan together, and do those things, man.
Okay. All right. So.
So you're saying, put it on paper, make proposals, vote for councilmen to be there, put give that proposal to a councilman to push it through, or have it voted on to become an actual thing.
Yes, yes.
All right. And that is one aspect of it. And I think that's the most above the, I guess, above the line, the part that we see. But there's a lot of this that goes deeper.
Deeper and deeper.
Yeah, deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper. That should be like, what, a theme for like the pocket, deeper and deeper? Mm-hmm. but it is like anything in this country, there's a lot of moving parts to all this that we're going to tackle. The general idea, though, is pretty much hold your ground. And we're going to get into what that actually means. But when you go downtown, though, and see your family, what exactly do you notice about the downtown area?
Well, I can say about my neighborhood, just like what you said, you see the colleges, putting their plans in place and they're doing their best, to put their foot down and all our neighborhoods, you see, them coming in and I'll be honest with you, I'm not saying it's totally a bad thing because there are a lot of changes that, didn't need to happen inside the city, but it's just a shame that sometimes it takes, them to come into the neighborhood in order for those changes to happen. But then, even though I could put, some of the blame on the city, we have to hold ourselves accountable as well, and do our best, just like we said before,
You were saying?
Yeah, we have to do our best to put our plans together and, try our best to stay united. And when I say united, I mean, get on one accord about something. And mm-hmm. Even though sometimes, we going to have differences, we going to feel, but...
unity.
If we can come up with... 70% on one thing, and then we go with that, we have to be willing to run with that.
Just being on the same page, basically.
Same page, yeah.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. And when we come back, that's what we're going to talk about. Basically, how to get on the same page and how to attack this problem we have.
And I'm turning my mic on.
Yes, nigga.
Do your thing, my brother.
Freestyle Friday.
Before we start, I do want to say this is not the discussions I built. This is the discussions Printez is building. He has my blessings. But if you want to hear from me, you could go to Freestyle Friday. You'll hear my voice again.
Yeah, man, make sure you shake them out.
It'll be my regular voice. And you can hear the Luther Vandross version that you hear right now.
That sounds nothing like Luther Vandross. I would say you sound like Darth Vader if he was going through some shit.
And you sound like Prince.
All right, we're back. Gentrification is still a topic.
Why are you yelling?
I speak in all capital letters.
All right, you can tell now.
So gentrification, we back. That's still the topic. Now, what set me onto this topic is Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. In my other life, I was working with someone, little young white girl, college age.
Little Bootsy. Okay.
Young college age white girl, right? And in the course of working with her, I had to get her address. And when she gave me her address, she said she lived, I can't remember the exact address, but she said she lived on Rumney Street. All right, now anybody from the Charleston area know what I mean when I say Rumney Street. Shout out to Pacino Dino. I was bumping them while I was working out the other day. But anyway, I asked one of my coworkers in my other life about that. I said, when do white girls like that start living on Rumney Street? And she was like, oh, you ain't heard? Rumney Street, that's a white neighborhood now. And I was like, when the hell that happened? And then I thought about another occasion when I was, and I tend not to drive through downtown Charleston because all those one-way streets, I tend to get turned around. And I'm not a street name guy. Like, if I'm making my way through somewhere, like, if you're giving me directions, you can't tell me, go down First Street, turn right on Main Street, and then go down till you get to ABC Street. I'll get lost quick. You got to give me landmarks,
that's
right?
That's ABC the street downtown?
Might get lost if you see if you're going by.
Is that where the liquor store is?
What would you see?
Nothing but liquor stores. Gun store. And I remember, like, ended up in the area where my mother would always take us. Like, for some reason, she always wanted to go to that Piggy Wiggly that was downtown behind the KFC. Yeah. I don't know what it was about that one, but she would always get on the bus and drag us all the way down there to buy whatever she was buying from there.
Man, them boy took down the grocery store and decided to put up a darn stand out there, man.
Yeah. And as I was driving, I saw all these little, again, college-age white kids. And you know what? There's nothing wrong being a college-age white kid. You know, you get your whole life ahead of you. But this was an area with nothing but old black families. And it made me sad thinking about all the history, all the memories that are in this area that are going to be gone now through gentrification. So we talked about, you touched on some of that earlier, about how to fight it. I want you to expound on that.
Well,
Can I ask a question for you, bro?
Okay.
Would you rather just see it torn down or go to bits or decay?
Well, the problem I have is we don't try to do those. This country doesn't try to do those things to improve those neighborhoods until white people start moving in.
The reason why I'm asking is because even if we build up our own neighborhood, right?
Right.
Which is, it's still gentrification. It's just done by us. Once you make it appealing to a certain type of people or the middle class neighborhood, as what it will be once you, when you upbuild something, you gentrify it into a middle class or high class or whatever like that standing. So it will be basically black people gentrifying their own neighborhoods, but white people still gonna want to move there because it's a nice place.
I'm gonna touch on that later.
All right, that's the only reason why I'm asking. I'm gonna go back to my engineering job.
That's a fair point, and I was gonna lead to that actually, that point. But go ahead, Mike.
Well, you know, I just believe that, you know, the one good thing that I do notice around the city, you know, I could tell that you know, that seem like a lot of people are working. You know, rather it's something. You know, they are working more around the city, and it's just like what I said earlier. It's all about you know, if you have certain issues that come up, you know, that we need to address in the neighborhood, you know, put these proposals together, you know, decide to put a stamp, put a label on it, you know, make sure that it's written on paper. You know what I mean? You know, people don't understand anything unless it's put on paper. Yeah, I mean, we can sit here and talk, you know, all day, you know what I mean? But you know, as long as you know, we know that, and the one thing about things is having goals put together, and you know, and that's that, you know, it's just something that, you know, to put in the air, you know, and for everyone, you know, to put everybody put their 2 cents in, you know, everybody put their 2 cents in. And old terminology, but you know, put everything in together in one pot. You know what I mean?
Well, I think there's a problem with that. Is it's a deeper issue that we have as a people, is that, like I said, we can never get on the same page about anything.
Yes.
And like, as soon as most of the room gets on the one accord about an issue, there's always somebody that comes through it. Well, I think.
And isn't that what debating is, or what legislation is?
True. But this is why the other side, I can't say other side because I'm not on either side, but this is the dichotomy between liberalism and conservatism. Conservatives get on the same page quick about everything, which is why they win most of their issues.
They just do their arguments behind closed doors. As a former conservative, I could tell you that. Like, it's
right,
a
but when
lot
it's,
of litigation that goes on behind closed doors, and then they bring it forward.
But right, but when it's time to take on the other side, all that litigation is done.
Yeah, it's already done. And that's also because, like, on the liberal side works on feelings. It's about feelings. And conservative side is about rules. So it's feelings versus rules.
Right.
And when it comes to legislation, the rule always wins out.
Right.
And a little bit is in each one of them. That's the other part too, you know. We say one liberal and one conservative, but then a little bit of conservatism and
yeah,
and
it's like 80% of most
you know what I mean?
People are center line.
Yeah.
They just slightly lean left or right. It's very few people that's extreme either way.
But here's my thing, though. Right. And this is going to touch on what you were talking about.
Back to my engineering.
What you were talking about a second of Holiday and why I really wanted Mike on the show.
What's up, baby?
Is Mike.
How you doing, Mike?
He's talking to his wife. Mike is talking to his wife, my sister.
What's up, baby?
No homo.
Mike, his family owns their home. They own their property downtown. That's why gentrification hits us the hardest, is because we don't own anything. If you notice, we're really the only group that has to worry about that. You never hear the Asians talking about gentrification. You never hear the Jewish community talking about it, because the Jewish community and the Asians own their own stuff. If the government wanted to move your property that you own, they got to pay you for that. Or they got to claim eminent domain.
You're right.
Or they just out-tax you.
Yeah, true, too. But that's the problem with blacks in America. We don't own anything. We don't have the economics. We don't have the economics to fight anything. Yes, vote.
Are you telling me I'm not black?
A general statement, by definition.
Okay. General.
Leaves room for exceptions. But yeah, vote as much as you can, but it's that money that pretty much it's that money that runs this country. I mean, why do you think Black Wall Street happened?
Yes, right.
Anytime, like, white people know what they can and can't fight. Because as I've started to say recently, the one time voting didn't work out for white people, we had a civil war over that.
Yeah, you know, we have to look at some of our examples of our you know, Black excellence. You know, in you know, in cities, you know, in Georgia and you know, in yeah. Chicago, and then look at, you know, certain aspects that have changed, you know, in the process, you know, afterwards, you know, as time went on, that caused, you know, a negative shake, you know, within our community in a whole, you know.
Right. And that goes with Holiday was talking about the whole fact that why it's a problem when white people do it. It ain't just a problem. It's not a problem in of itself. The problem is that if white people moved into these neighborhoods after we fixed them up, at least we own that.
Yes.
That's something that we have. What this country is supposed to be built on, the fact that you can own something.
Yes. That's the main thing. You know, ownership, you know, So
my question to you, Mike, is, and not to get into your family's business, do you know of any cases where someone may have reached out to your family asking them to, like, sell their property or move off their property?
All the time, man. You know, the letters come. You know, they'll you know, you come to your doorstep. I mean, and you can't, you can't. I put it this way: you can't knock them for that either. You know, you can't knock them for that. You know. We have to learn. We have to learn to take our steps accordingly as well. You know, why aren't some of these people looking like me walking up? Looking to own a home. Right. You know, and not saying it's not happening. You know, certain places, but you know, we have to look to improve in that area. You know.
So my question then, next question is. Mm-hmm. What does your family do to combat that? Like, let's say Mr. Official Person comes to your door and say, hey, we want to move your guy. We want to buy your guy's home because we're going to put a Walmart here.
Well, you know, they, of course, you know, these things, too, is always good to do your homework, too, because, you know, it's always, you just like you see on the television, you know, when they put an ad out, they have the small print at the bottom of it. You know, there's always a small print behind, you know, even the ownership that we may feel that we have, too. So it's always a good thing to look into that, you know, to be knowledgeable of that as well. Me myself, you know, I'm still learning, you know, myself too, you know, just like the young, you know, you talking about as far as in, you know, this generation, you know, me learning, you know, I just learning the steps as well too. I'm, you know, being thankful to own, you know, to have home ownership, you know.
All right, because Mike himself owns his own home.
You know, so you know, just thankful, thankful to God, you know what I mean? But just do your best, just do your homework. That's all I can say. You know, try your best, maintain, and you know that it can happen. You know, it's not it takes a process.
Okay. So question for you then. Has your family ever tried to buy somebody else out of their property? Like, as far as you remember.
Well, not in my generation. You know, I could say as far as my knowledge. Now, you know, my family, own businesses downtown. Right. Owned a business downtown at one time. I heard, you know, so I know that, you know, that they were into that type of thing, right. You know, so, you know.
But do you know of any roadblocks that they had in trying to buy that property?
Well, of course, I know that we did have roadblocks because we did, you know, at one point, went out of business at one point. But then, you know, we still, you know, was able to go in other avenues too, though.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yes.
Right, because it goes back to ownership. Owning property. That helps those homes and those businesses stay within those black families, and that's why it's so important. I'm gonna champion it. You hear other people champion it, especially when it comes to economics. It's so important that we own everything in this country, own what we have in this country. Because again, a big reason that gentrification hits us is that most black people rent.
Yes.
Once you rent, you have no control over that. You're paying somebody else. You basically paying somebody else's mortgage. That's all you're really doing.
That's one thing I've never understood. I've never understood how people are selling the ability to rent to other people. Why? How do you, I ain't gonna say manipulate, but how do we have a society that believes it's better to rent? Like, I don't understand it. Like, better to rent instead of trying to own your own property? No, I'm just gonna rent for my whole life. Like, that's my aspiration, to rent forever.
Yeah, renting shouldn't be your whole goal. It depends on your situation, though.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't have the means to fix something, maybe you rent. But then they have to say, but like you hit me till last year, it's actually cheaper to own because you don't. But that's because you don't have to have paid maintenance fees and stuff like that.
Right.
Right. So it's good and bad and everything. I think it's more situational. But like I said, your end game should be to own your own stuff, especially once you become somebody of means. But we're going to take a little commercial break, and we'll be right back. You tired of not knowing how to think? You tired of your political party taking you for granted? You tired of being confused by phrases like one of the greatest memories of all time? Well, there's a man out there that's going to save you. A man that Black People Magazine voted most. A man that the 45th president of the United States once described as him again. A man that Tulsi Gabbard saw and once tried to take him home to her guru. Come to Discussions with Tez, and he'll show you the way at www.distractionnetwork.com/discussions. So basically what we learned today.
Man, you ain't saying nothing like, and we are back. Like, how do they know that you're off commercial break?
Because it is so.
Man.
We are back.
This is not the podcast I built.
We're going in a new direction there, Holiday. All right. I'm going to show you all how easy this can be. But we're back.
You said you all. I think we down to like 3 subscribers now.
They'll grow. Those 3 are going to tell 3, and they'll tell 3, and then they'll tell 3.
And then you have 5.
Yeah, I think your math's way wrong on that one. I need to know who your math teacher was, so in case I have kids, I never send them to that person. But we're back. So I guess what we learned today is what? Being on the same page helps, right?
Yes. And okay. Good. And I want you all to understand when I'm saying this, I'm saying this to myself too. That's it. Look, I don't know it all, but at the same time, you know, if we don't put what we feel and you know and let each other know it, you know, then things won't get done at all.
Right.
You know who does know it all though?
Yeah.
The engineer back here.
I was going to say Antonio Brown, but okay.
I better learn from him.
That dude. Hey, the cops can't even control that dude, man. But yeah, being on the same page and owning stuff. You know, that's what we need to do. So, man, tell us more about yourself, though. I mean, they heard me talk like a whole year now, right?
Yeah. Somewhere around that, for real.
Yeah,
man. Yes, like I said, Mike Godfrey said, you know, I'm a musician. You know, I've been doing music since I've been little. You know, I sing, rap, create beats.
And he's dope. I've heard him on the way up here.
Appreciate it, man.
He is on Lynx Recording Studio. If you go inside the group, Lynx, you could listen to his shit.
That's right.
He get linked up.
Yeah, man. Y'all make sure y'all, everybody get connected, man. Network, man. But yeah, man, hit me up on Instagram, Prophet Mike and Harmony. Also, 7 Shots Beats for Sale. You know, just hit me up. You know, just looking to, for the whole city, man. We on the come up, man. You know what I mean? I see the growth, you know, and we just got to keep on rolling with that, man.
Yeah, I see the growth too, because white people now live on Romney Street.
Who you tell them? Who you tell them?
I didn't say shit about Park Circle either.
Look, Parks, listen. If you from the city, if you from Charleston and you in your mid-30s, you understand how significant that is that white people live on Romney Street.
Oh, man. And I don't know. I know 10 years ago when I was in the Navy.
Right.
In the Navy. Oh, you can sell them 7 seas. Hey, when I was in the Navy, I used to come down through, well, this is like 2006 or whatever. I used to ride from the old Navy base, the weapons station, all the way down to the Navy Hospital, which is on Rivers Avenue.
Right.
And I used to take those back roads because I love the hoods. And Park Circle, when I came back from Atlanta,
right,
like that's what changed me. Like, what the hell is going on here? Like, it's businesses here.
Yeah.
All these houses that all the people used to sit on the porch, and I used to ride through to see cement porches, people sitting on the porches reading to each other.
Bro.
Old man sitting in their wheelchairs on the front porch, probably looking at them little girls doing hopscotch,
nasty
thinking
asses.
Nasty thoughts, thinking R. Kelly thoughts.
wow.
But you know what I'm saying?
These little girls,
it's a lot different. And now it's full of businesses that done gentrified all the houses. All the houses look the same on the outside with a fresh coat of paint.
Oh, I feel like an asshole now, bro.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite pizza place is in that area now.
What's Park Circle Pizza?
Yeah. I don't like chain pizza places. I like Pizza Hut. No, I don't fuck with them anymore.
Yeah, you know, one of my jobs is there.
What?
I ain't gonna say it on this, but my job is right there. My office looks right over one of the main reasons people go to Park Circle.
Yeah. So now I feel like an asshole.
I have a window office. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No flex, I guess. Right.
Yeah, I ain't flexing.
Boy, hell, man.
All right, but yeah, ownership and being on the same page. Basically,
Also, that's only my secondary office.
The two things that, you know, we've been saying that black people need to get with if we want to fight white supremacy.
You know what? I can't end the show with, having the show end without also bringing up our schools as well too. A lot of things. The big thing that I've learned, throughout that's going on right now is they're using the zones.
Yeah.
They're zoning up all these areas so that a good area, for example, that we keep mentioning tonight, Park Circle, those kids can't even go to the same schools in that area. They got to go to another part of town in order to go to school when they got a school right there in their neighborhood. And, you have to know that everything is a scheme. All of it is put together, too. Has to do with the same thing as well. And it's just crazy, man. It's just real crazy, man. And then a lot of things they'll do, they'll use our schools as an experiment.
Right.
They'll put
pilot programs and all that.
The program was successful here, so now they take, they'll uproot that program right out of our schools, put it it'll make a charter school or a private school, and put those programs into those schools, and then now, bam, bam, our schools, our grade is going low.
In the school aspect, that's actually a great point, because a lot of people don't realize that property value plays a lot into how well they fund the school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is a reason why, you think about it logically, you think you would send the best teachers to the worst schools, right? But they don't do that because they don't even fund that school well enough to pay the best teachers.
That'd be stupid as hell.
Oh, that'd be stupid.
To send the best teachers to the worst schools?
The people who need to help the most?
Nah. That's like saying, dog, you are the best sales agent on this side of Mississippi. You sell all the cars.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you over to bumfuck Louisiana so you can sell Miats, so you can get off these 7,000 Miats in this next 6 weeks.
That's why
you don't do that.
But that's
your
why
best
I work
people I work, go to the best schools and then they get promoted.
I work car sales.
Continue getting promoted.
I work car sales. The guy who's the best at closing is a guy they always call in for the tough sales. It's the same call. Would you send
that's
your,
when someone else can't has tried and can't do it, right?
Yeah.
And what eventually happens to that best salesman?
He sells that car.
Well.
Long term.
Long term, he probably burns out.
You know.
Or they'll go from place like Drive Time. Next thing you know, they're at McElveen. Next thing you know, they're at the corner.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Drive Time, man. Drive Time was my first favorite job when I worked there.
But yeah, that's what happens, man. You don't send your best people to the worst places. You send them.
So would you not send your best doctors to the most effed up places medically?
Hell no.
Really?
You know where the best doctors are at in South Carolina?
Like in white neighborhoods, like MUSC.
They are at MUSC downtown.
No, MUSC, that's not a good example because they're a teaching school. They're a teaching hospital.
They are, but guess who teaches those students?
The best. See, you will probably want the best doctors to actually teach your students.
The best cancer research person in the nation.
All I'm saying is in my America.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
In my America.
Send them motherfuckers to Trident?
In my America, the best teachers, you see, will they'll go to the worst schools. They need the most help.
Well, I could say because my aunt is a school teacher, and and what I can say from what I've heard her experience, and then from this my research and myself, it's really, I'll be honest, it's not even just as far as the good or bad teachers. It's really, they're really overwhelmed. You know, the way they have the system. How are you going to be able to teach? 1 minute you have, you start the semester with 15 kids, then you go on into the semester. Now, by the end of the semester, you got almost 40 kids in your class.
Right.
And it's crazy.
That's going to be your next topic when you come back on.
I got you.
I didn't know your aunt was a teacher. That's we need to talk about that.
Yes.
All right. And you know what? And if she's the best teacher out there, she really needs to go to the worst schools. All right. Nobody, anybody says.
No.
All right.
You know how to fix all that though.
My point is, a rising tide raises all ships.
I think first of all, voting rises the tides and raises all the ships. But
you're not going to get in that same sense,
right? We can. I mean, you can basically fix the whole thing by one. Hire more teachers, but back in 2010, Nikki Haley made sure that wouldn't happen. But you can hire more teachers, pay them more, and build funding towards the schools to make sure that, like, teaching materials doesn't have to come out of those teacher pockets. And then you basically...
Yeah, I don't get that at all.
Yeah. Shouldn't happen, but guess who did it? Nikki Haley. 2010, because she didn't want to take money from a black president.
Nikki Haley.
Yeah, man, I'm sorry to say we have to talk about Gabby.
Talk about Gabby Part One.
Crazy.
I forgot. I can't tell you exactly what statue it is, but you can actually look it up. She refused money for education. She refused money for the roads, which is the other problem that we're having. And the third problem we're having is she refused money to help teenage
pregnancy.
Women get what is it called? When you go,
they call it
abortion, but it's not really abortion. It's
population control, eugenics.
What do you call that center that everyone goes to? Oh. The center that does that, everybody gets all this recognition.
Planned Parenthood.
Planned Parenthood, and the Planned Parenthood they was really looking at was basically in the places where like white people were, like white women. So she did not fund to people that look just like her. Which tells me that basically she's not, like conservatives are. They're not about their personal agenda. They're about their roots. That's why I sneak around and I say on my Facebook post, vote in your own self-interest.
Yeah.
Because voting in your own self-interest is what everyone is supposed to do.
But people
conservatives
vote.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
But black people don't vote, though. Yeah. And that's the problem.
Black people don't vote. Vote black
people. I'm gonna let this go so you can do your closing.
Vote black people. But I'm saying, don't be surprised if they lose. They don't accept it. That's all. A video of a white man saying he's going to shoot people if Trump comes out of office.
So what they don't understand is that, like, it's you got black people out there like me. Yeah. I ain't scared to shoot no white person. I ain't scared to shoot nobody. I just don't. I just want to see they gun first to make sure I ain't going to jail.
Get off topic here. All right. So, you can find him again at...
Wait a minute. What I was saying was, you don't understand there's a lot of people like me out there. White people can run out and start shooting up a storm. Most white people ain't going to do that. But they don't know it's just as many black people that got guns as they do.
I'm moving to Barbados. Open a nightclub and become a private detective. Leave all this behind, man.
All black people go get a CWP.
That's right. All right, we can find him again at Prophet Mike and Harmony. Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Manson Musa the 7th. Also, starting a YouTube channel, so like and subscribe. Click that notification bell. Yo, that's cool to say that, actually.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I actually said that. Yeah, click the notification bell because, you know, YouTube's algorithm is weird. Yeah. I said the whole thing.
That's another thing. And my YouTube is 7 shots, 40 below.
7 shots, 40 below.
Make sure you all subscribe. Make sure you all check those out.
And on my page, click the link to the Patreon page. Support us. Support me. All right, so that's it for us here at Links Recording Studios in Somerville, South Carolina. Y'all can catch me on Twitter at Manson Musa the 7th. Or catch me at www.distractionnetwork.com/discussions. Y'all be good. Peace.